this evening then to turn to that passage that we read earlier, John's Gospel and chapter 10. Perhaps a very familiar passage to us in many ways. We often think, don't we, of how the Lord described his people as his sheep and himself as the shepherd and the good shepherd. And of course, perhaps in our own time and our own culture, if you were to describe somebody as a sheep, it's not always very complimentary. It's perhaps a comment on them not having a mind of their own and just following the crowd and going that way. But not so when the Lord speaks of his people as his sheep. When the Lord speaks of his people as his sheep, yes, there's a truth there. There's that weakness, there's that tendency to wander. But we read of the Lord, don't we, as the shepherd who goes out and gathers in the one, leaving the 99 behind. So there's that aspect there. But there's so much more that's there, where the Lord, describing his people as his sheep, speaks in tenderest terms, speaks in wonderful terms of his dealings with us, something of what our relationship is like to him, and something of his relationship as the good shepherd to us, to his sheep. And it's something of that that I want us to look at this evening, and particularly concentrate our devotions this evening on verse 27. So John 10 and verse 27, where the Lord says these words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And of course, what we see firstly here is that the Lord has a people who he calls his sheep, my sheep. He owns a people that he calls his sheep. These are my sheep. There's a relationship here that we need to unfold. There's a relationship here that speaks of us belonging. Those who are the Lord's, those who have come to know the Lord Jesus as their shepherd, as their saviour, the Lord speaks of them in these terms. He says, I have a people who are my sheep. They belong to me. Now, how is it that there are those who belong to the Lord Jesus? In what sense do we belong to the Lord? In what sense can the Lord speak of owning his people, owning them as sheep? Well, there are two things that are brought out here in this very passage. The first thing is that the Father gives sheep to the Son. The Father is the one who gives the sheep to the Son. That's something that he speaks of here in these verses here, verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. So here is an aspect of this relationship that we have with the Lord as belonging to him, which begins with this, that the Father has given to the Son a people, a sheep. It's interesting, isn't it, when you think over in John 17, the Lord's great high priestly prayer. And this is a recurrent theme throughout that lovely prayer that we read of there in John's Gospel, chapter 17, where he speaks again and again of how he has been faithful in that great task where the Father has entrusted to the Son a people. He's given to the Son a people. And he's commissioned, and as the Godhead and that plan in eternity have a purpose that there should be a plan of redemption, the Son in the fullness of time comes to take this people to himself and to bring them to glory. We will see that down, you cast your eye down through John 17, verse 2. He speaks there, he says, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Here's the Lord, here's the Son saying to the Father, thou hast given me a people, I'm going to give eternal life to them. Says down again, verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Again, God the Father has given a people to the Son. And here's the Son in this wonderful prayer to the Father. He says, "I have manifested thy name to those that thou hast given me." Says again down in verse 9, "I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." So those are the Father, the Son, that the Son is entrusted to gather this people, to die for this people, to convey all these glorious truths to his people. Again, verse 11 of John 17 speaks to it again, the second part of that, "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Now we begin to see what it is that has been entrusted to the Son. here's Father unto him. It speaks there again in verse 12. It says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. You see there the faithfulness of the Saviour, the Son of God, in those sheep that have been given to him by the Father. And then further on down in verse 24 as well, it says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. And again, we see that great, as it were, culmination of what the Lord had purposed, that his people might be one and that they might be taken to glory, to see the glory that is the Son's. So we have here in this verse that we're considering this evening, that here are a sheep that belong to the Lord Jesus because the Father has given them to him. But there's something else about how it is that the Son can claim ownership of these sheep, because we read, don't we, that the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased them, has redeemed them, that they belong to him because he's accomplished something. We see that spoken of course, here in John 10, the passage that we read, spoke a number of times about him being the good shepherd who's laid down his life for the sheep. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. See, here's the transaction now. Here's what took place at Calvary. Here's the Son of God who, there in that glorious exchange at Calvary, exchanges his life, perfect, holy, sinless Lamb of God, for the lives of his people, his sheep that have been given to him by the Father, those who were guilty in the sight of God, those who were deserving of God's wrath and judgment. And here's this great transaction, where the Lord Jesus Christ offers himself, lays down his life for the sheep. And of course he mentions that a number of times there. Speaks of it there again in verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And this is our redemption. This is what the Lord Jesus has accomplished here. He's purchased these sheep. So those that the Father has given to the Son, that the Son will be entrusted to gather them together, that they might be one, that they might be taken to glory, it requires this, that the Lord should purchase them with his own blood. What a glorious thing it is the Lord has done. He repeats again, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. See, here is the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling that glorious commission that he was given by the Father, given the sheep, that he might purchase them and redeem them and die for them. And he says, because he's done that, the Father loves him. Now, of course, these are mysteries to us, aren't they? How can there be anything but perfect love in the Godhead? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But here he speaks of this glorious plan of redemption that is wonderfully fulfilled. And how the Father then gives to the Son the sheep. And the Son comes in the fullness of time, lays down his life for them, redeems them and purchases them. So here, when he speaks of his sheep, my sheep, he says here, verse 27, my sheep, what's he speaking of here? Those given by the Father, those that he has purchased, laid down his life for, laid down and shed his own blood, that he might redeem a people to himself. Well, here's the wonderful thing that the Lord has done here. We think also over how Peter speaks of this in his epistle, 1 Peter, and chapter 1, where Peter speaks of the preciousness of that. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It says you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, brought back to the Father. Those who were lost are now returned through this glorious redemption that our Lord accomplished. So here we have my sheep that the Lord speaks of. What a wonderful description that is. And then of course the verse goes on and speaks of some other aspect of this relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. That means that the shepherd speaks, speaks to his sheep, calls his sheep. Here is one who is not in a remote way just laid down his life for this innumerable company of people, but he says he calls them. He speaks to them. He says, "My sheep, hear my voice." Now we were reminded this morning, weren't we, about how the command goes out to all peoples to worship him because he's our creator. We read of that, don't we, in Psalm 19, that there's no part of the world where this voice is not heard because of creation around. I think of how Paul speaks of that all are without excuse, because we see, don't we, some of the attributes of God in the very creation around us. But here's a particular call. There's a general proclamation. There's a general sight of God. The gospel message goes out as a general call. But here, the Lord is speaking about how, in particular, his sheep hear his voice. That inner call, that special call, that call that draws his sheep unto himself. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. My sheep come to be saved. And of course the Lord speaks of that in these verses here, doesn't he? Where he speaks of how he is indeed the one who brings us unto salvation. Well, notice what he says here in verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of here as the shepherd of his sheep. He says it's by him that they're saved. How do they know of this good shepherd? Well, he calls them, doesn't he? His voice is the one that speaks to them. He speaks of those things here in verse 2. He says that to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Verse 4, he says again at the end of there, he says, they know his voice. Verse 5, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You see, here's the one who calls us unto himself. And the Lord is one when he proclaims that wonderful message, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, who is it that respond? His sheep come to him. They come to him that they might know this salvation, that they might know this forgiveness of sins. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. So there's a coming to the Lord, that particular call, that inner call that awakens, where the Holy Spirit brings about that new birth, and we hear what the Lord is saying to us, what he reveals to us of our sin and our need of him as a Saviour. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. And they come to me. It's by me, he says, they may be saved. But of course there's a hearing of his voice as we go on in our Christian lives. And my sheep hear my voice. That he describes there in verse 4 again, when he says, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There's a coming to him, there's the call to his sheep as they come to him, but then there's a following of the Lord. There's that hearing of his voice daily, as he says to us to come to him and to follow him. He speaks there, doesn't he, of going out and coming in before them, finding pasture, that he speaks of there in verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's the call to his sheep to come to him, to be saved. But then he says, and shall go in and out and find pasture. What are the sheep doing there? Finding pasture, they're following the shepherd. We were reminded this morning, weren't we, of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and he leads his sheep in green pastures, by the still waters. And here's this, that the Lord is clearly drawing to our attention, this echo of Psalm 23 here. And so he says, "Is the and the door?" And he says, "And he says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture, because the good shepherd, the Lord, who is our shepherd, leads us into green pastures, leads us to the still waters. And how is it that we find ourselves in those places? We heed his voice, we hear his voice, and we follow him. Oh, he says, my sheep, hear my voice. We can ask ourselves, can't we, how often do you listen to the voice of the shepherd? If you're one who's come to know the Lord, do you listen to him? Do you hear his voice? He speaks us through his word. He speaks us through our times of devotion, in the public preaching of the word. There are those times when we're challenged and he speaks to us. But he speaks to us sometimes through the circumstances of our lives, when we are questioning, what's this happening? When we acknowledge that God is a sovereign God, a God of providence, a God who's ordered all the events that happen to us. And we say, Lord, why? Why is this? And we pray. And we seek that the Lord might give us an understanding of the ways in which we are. Do you hear his voice? As our attention is drawn to the promises in his word, our attention is drawn to his attributes, where he speaks of himself as one who is faithful, one who never leave nor forsake, speaks of himself as the good shepherd, who does lead us in those pathways. We need to be those who hear his voice. And he says, my sheep, hear my voice. That's a mark of those who are the Lord's people. We have one who speaks to us. We have one who calls to us. We have one who communicates with. Do we commune with him? Do we know what it means to have communion with the Lord? Or is there somehow a veil there? Is there a distance there? Is he not known to us in that way? See, when the Lord speaks of these wonderful passages that describe his people as his sheep and his himself as the shepherd, that's not, as we see in our land now, a shepherd who is somehow distant from his sheep. He rides ahead of them on his quad bike, and the sheep are at a distance. These are shepherds who knew their sheep intimately, who walked with them, who slept in the doorway of the sheepfold. There's all those things that conjure up that communion together. Well, here's one who calls to us, and we're to heed his voice. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. And then he goes on to say, thirdly, and I know them. I know them. That's a wonderful, glorious doctrine, glorious truth here, that those that the Father has given to the Son, and those that the Son then calls in the fullness of time unto himself, and he laid down his life for them, he knows them. He knows each of us. If you're one who is the Lord's and one of his sheep, he knows you by name, knows you personally. Here is not some random general knowledge of his people as a mere gathering, as a flock. But he knows them individually. He knows each of us individually are his. The Lord, who was given by the Father a sheep to save, knows every one of those sheep. Indeed, he laid down his life for them individually. Does the depth of that hit you? My sins, if you're one of those who have come to trust in his glorious sacrifice upon the cross at Calvary, you can say, my sins personally laid upon him. He bore my punishment. That's where this particularity here comes in. Those that the Father gave to the Son in the fullness of time, he gathers them, he calls them to himself because he lays down his life. Who for? For the sheep, for his sheep. And that means that he knows them individually, bore the punishment for them. He speaks of that, of course. He's already said that here, hasn't he, in verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. He calls them by name, each one of his sheep. That's an individual knowledge of his people. What a glorious thing that is to grasp that our Lord, having come into this world to lay down his life for his sheep, he did it for me, by name, personally, individually. He says, I know them. He knows us by name. And of course, those are things that the Lord echoes on other occasions. You think of how, again, in that great high priestly prayer, as he's there speaking to the Father, he speaks about how he prays for his people individually, knows them. He spoke there in verse 9 of John 17, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine, they are thine. Here's the one who came to fulfill that task the Father had done. Those sheep that have been given to him, those that he calls by name, he prays for them. We have now, at the right hand of the Father, one who intercedes for his people. What a glorious Saviour we have. These truths are just things that are just too deep for us to fully grasp and take to heart, aren't they? But this knowledge, of course, where the Lord says, that he knows them. It goes far deeper than just knowing us by name and having laid down his life as individually, because it takes us to the very heart of his love, that it was set in eternity past. Why does the Lord know us? Why has he set his love upon us? Not for anything in us, not because he foresaw that we would be deserving, but in eternity past, he chose a people unto himself. We think of that amazing passage, don't we, in Romans chapter 8, where there's this great sequence that the Apostle Paul sets before us. We know of Romans 8:28, don't we? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And the verses go on, doesn't he? And who, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. That's what we've been looking at here. My sheep hear my voice. He calls them. Well, what's that founded upon? Something that's deeply mysterious to us. Something that took place in eternity past. The foreknowledge. And when the scriptures speak of a foreknowledge, it speaks of that intimate love that is set upon his people. Not knowing that they would respond, but a foreknowledge and a setting of his love upon his people, that he chose them, elect, for whom he did foreknow, them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So when the Lord Jesus here says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Oh, there are deep, wonderful things here. A love that is set upon his people, not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, not because he saw some merit in us. No, because he simply loved us, because he loved us, because he chose to do so. All the glory and all the praise must indeed go to our Lord and Saviour for that glorious love he set upon us. Think again of how he speaks, doesn't he, in Ephesians 1. Paul says this in verse 4. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was his will and purpose. There is no other reason to be added to this, other than it was according to the good pleasure of his will, and therefore all the praise and the glory must go to him, all the wonder of what he has done. We must never take anything to ourselves, never think that we were deserving somehow, or more deserving than others, but to give him the praise and all the glory. Well, here then are these things that are the set before us of this relationship then that he speaks of here, of his sheep, my sheep belonging to him, my sheep hear my voice. He calls and he speaks to his sheep, but he calls them unto himself. And he says, and I know them. And all the wonder of that knowledge that is there. But what then is the consequence of these truths, if you like? What's the outworking of those great doctrines? Well, we have it coming next. And he says, they follow me. And they follow me. The consequence of the things that we've seen, that God in eternity past said his love upon a particular people, that the Father gave the sheep to the Son, that the Son in the fullness of time comes and calls them to himself, redeems them, lays down his life for them, purchases them, that he has a people then that hear that call, that he knows us by name. There's a consequence here, is that these sheep follow him. They follow him. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There's a necessary consequence here. There's a certainty here. There's something that necessarily must follow because of that great plan of God's that cannot be thwarted, that was completed. And as the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17, he had perfectly kept all that the Father had given him to do. And the consequence is that therefore he has a people who follow him, who have come to him, who have come to embrace the Lord Jesus, who have come to love the Lord Jesus, who have come then to seek that they might serve him and live for him. they follow him. I want us just to consider three certainties here that we have as we think about that consequence of what the Lord has planned and done, and that he has a sheep then that therefore follow him. There's a certainty that they will come. They must come. All the Lord's people will come. That's a great encouragement when we engage in evangelism and outreach, and we've had this summer season with the beach missions, and we go out in the town and we seek to preach this message, that those who are the Lord's will come. Those that have been given to the Son must come. None of them will be lost. That's a wonderful encouragement to us, isn't it, when we think of the work that the Lord has given us to do. Yes, he's commissioned us to proclaim this gospel message, but he is the one who calls, and he is the one who will gather all his people in John chapter 6 and verse 37. Here's what the Lord Jesus said about this: all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There's a promise of success. There's a certainty that's going to take place. All of those that the Father's given to the Son will come. It must be that the Lord will be successful in what he's accomplished. He laid down his life for them. He's purchased them. How could it be otherwise? And so there's that one great certainty. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and all of them will follow the Lord and will come to him. There's a certainty, though, as well, in the promise that is given to those sheep. What is it that the Lord spoke of here when he spoke about laying down his life for his sheep and calling his sheep unto himself? He's promised eternal life. What is it that the sheep have come to the Father, come to the Lord for? What have they come to the Good Shepherd for? Forgiveness of sins, peace with God, to know that they belong to him, but that promise of eternal life. That's what the Son has promised, hasn't he, to the Father. It comes in our next verse, verse 28. And so he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. There's another necessary consequence of God's great plan of redemption. To save a people, to have a sheep that come to him, that hear his voice, they come and respond, they lay hold upon the Lord, and they follow him. And what does the Lord do? Gives them eternal life. Those who are the Lord's, we have a certainty here that the one who's accomplished, as he prayed in John 17, accomplished all that the Father had given him to do, he's lost none of those sheep, he's also promised them eternal life. That's what the Lord gives to his people. Eternal life, they shall never perish. What a wonderful prospect that is. You think of sheep. Sheep, in the natural course of events, they don't have any prospect of everlasting life, do they? But these sheep do. The sheep of the Good Shepherd, the Lord's. And then the third great certainty that's held out here, a necessary consequence of God's great plan and all that is sheep, will be kept, and none will be lost. So all will come to him. All are promised that everlasting life, and none will be lost. Here is one who is faithful, a shepherd who will keep his sheep, who will lose none of his sheep. There's no being saved one moment and then lost the next. And when the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased a sheep, when God the Father has given the sheep to his Son, when he's called them unto himself, and we belong to him, he says none of them can be lost. All of them will be kept. These are those that the Lord says that he's never lost any of them. He said that, didn't he, there in John 17. When he spoke, he says, all that the Father has given to me has he kept. And he's lost none of them. But he says the son of perdition, referring, of course, to Judas Iscariot. Well, here are these glorious promises that we have here. Here's the consequence of what the Lord has done. But there comes then as we apply this again to ourselves, all we're lifted up in praise, all the glory is the Lord's. We speak of his grace and his mercy, that we should know these things, that these should be great truths that we can take to heart. But the question comes to us then, are you, am I, one of his sheep? There's a test here, isn't there? My sheep, he says, hear my voice. And they follow me. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Have you heard him call you? Have you heard him speak in your heart? See, the Lord has said, and he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Today he says, harden not your hearts. Have you heard the Lord Jesus? Have you heard him call you? Have you heard him say those words that awaken you to your guilt and your sin and your need of a Saviour? And that he is the only Saviour. He is the Good Shepherd. All others, he says, all others were thieves and robbers. All else will try to give you some satisfaction in life and some purpose in life. They were thieves and robbers. No, but the Lord Jesus, our Good Shepherd, is the one that we're to hear. Have you heard him? Have you come to him? Have you followed him? Then all those great assurances that we've been speaking of, you can take them as what an encouragement. I'll be kept. I'm his. He purchased me. He knows me by name. He died for me. He promised me eternal life. Oh, glorious things. Those are there. But then we need to take it on and say, but what about your daily life? Those who say, yes, I have heard him. Yes, he is my Saviour. Yes, I have come to know the Lord Jesus as my Good Shepherd. Then do you still hear his voice? Do you hear him day by day? Do you listen to him? Or do you crowd that out? There's so many other things that crowd these things out in our lives, and we pay our attention to so much else. But do you hear the shepherd's voice? It's a great encouragement, isn't it, when we think of how the Lord describes us as sheep, that as the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep and will not lose any of them, so he is the one that will go out and rescue the sheep that wanders. And sadly we do that, don't we? There are times when we wander from the sheepfold, find ourselves in those bypass meadows, find ourselves in those places we ought not to be. But if we're the Lord's, he'll keep us, he'll bring us back to himself, but he would have us hear him, hear his voice. So when you come to the word of God, and when you're challenged in your conscience, which is the Lord speaking to us, when those things awaken us, said the shepherd, my shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is calling me. Hear him. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So we want to day by day be those that will follow the Lord, those that will indeed seek to be those keep close to the shepherd. And the Lord has many flocks. He spoke there, didn't he, about how he said, I've got sheep over the folds. His great prayer is that they might be one, united together with him. That, as he said in John 17, that they might be one as the Father and the Son are one. There's a union with the Son that the Lord desires. This shepherd is not there at the front of the sheepfold with this great sheepfold, and you can't get to him. He desires a unity with his people, that we might have such a communion with him, that he speaks of it in the same terms as he does between the Father and the Son. That's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? But that's what the Lord desires of us. So, are you his sheep? Do you hear him? Do you follow him? May the Lord indeed help us so to do throughout our lives, and not to let other things crowd out the voice of our Good Shepherd, but maybe be those who are always listening to our Lord and following him. Amen. Amen.